Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We've got Dr. Avery Shenfeld, Managing Director, Chief Economist, CIBC Capital Markets, helping us understand the global trade market or the global trade war and then global economics here. Now, Avery, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the framework, the challenge that it's going to be between the U.S. and China to resolve that particular conflict. Maybe you can just expand a little bit about where you see the real challenging the sticky points on this, and then we can talk a little bit about what the expected outcome and timelines, as you say, could be as investors, what we're going to have to live through.
The two big challenges here are that the U.S. is singling out China for having a large trade surplus with the U.S., and it's not as if you can, by the stroke of a pen, cause a lot of that manufacturing that takes place in China to suddenly shift over to the U.S. So in some sense, the U.S. is asking China for the impossible. They're asking it to somehow rectify a trade imbalance that is almost structural in nature. The second issue is that China is also targeting to get more growth in certain industries. They have a long-term program to try to shift towards more higher-value goods, and that the U.S. sees as a threat to its dominance in certain areas of technology. So the U.S. is actually challenging China on one of its central policy objectives. That's why I think negotiating something out of this is going to be very difficult. At the same time, there are two reasons to expect a negotiation. This is going to cause pain to the Chinese economy. They are going to feel it, and so they're going to certainly have an incentive to try to find a route out of the back-and-forth tariff war. And at the same time, on the U.S. side, you know, the people who shop at Walmart, many of whom are Trump voters, give this another 6 months, and they're going to start to see it show up on the retail shelves of places like the Walmarts and so on, where some of the goods do have to come from China, and if they come from somewhere else, they're going to be more expensive. So there is going to be an inflation impact in the U.S. that I think is something the American administration is going to try to also want to negotiate out of.
So don't you feel that there's some outs for China besides this tit-for-tat strategy? Could they not devalue their currency? Could they not have restrictions on American companies coming into China or the ones that are already there? Could they not just go around the U.S. and start building pacts or agreements with other nations that would basically isolate the United States? Would those three, or maybe there's some other ones that you can think of that China could do without having them be impacted on their growth, because they are a large growth engine for global economy?
Well, you're right. There are some adjustments that can and will be made. And one of them is what the invisible hand of the market. So if people think that China's export prospects are going to slow, one of the consequences is that the Chinese currency starts to slip. And in fact, to date, the decline in the Chinese yuan versus the U.S. dollar has offset for its trade competitiveness a lot of the tariffs that have been put on. So that's not really something that China wants to use as a tool, because the reality is that Chinese consumers are then poorer when they shop abroad. But it is one of the ways that markets will adjust. The difficulty here for China is that putting tariffs on U.S. goods in retaliation isn't as effective a weapon, because the U.S. doesn't export as much to China as China does to the U.S. So they're not inflicting as much pain on their American trading partner. And it's very difficult to reorient trade towards other countries. Remember that the U.S. is still the world's largest economy. And so it's very difficult to find substitute consumers for everything that China makes. Just as American companies that rely on supply chains that go through China are going to find it difficult. Remember that what's often the case is that China assembles something, but the parts are coming from all over. The software and the designs might be coming from U.S. companies where the engineers and designers are working. So the intertwined nature of global trade makes it a slow and expensive process to reorient an economy or even one production line.
Avery, what's the probability outcome here? So give us a sense of do cooler heads prevail, and kind of what probability, as you're doing your forecasting, do you put on a positive outcome versus, say, a negative outcome?
So I think cooler heads will eventually prevail, but I think that relative to the timeline for NAFTA, for example, or even for the U.S. backing away from a trade deal with Europe, this one could take a bit longer just because, you know, first of all, the politics in the U.S. are that Americans do think they've been ripped off by China on trade. And it is the one country where perhaps Trump has a point that U.S. companies haven't got the same access to China's market, that China has been doing things with intellectual property rights that are perhaps, you know, not in the spirit of open global trade. So I think that's why this one could take longer. So I don't expect to see much progress before, for example, the midterm elections. I think Trump wants to go into those midterm elections in November with big tariffs on in China. So he can say, I've got tough with the Chinese. But by the end of Trump's four-year mandate, I guess our assumption is that we will have some sort of coming down from the brink by then from both the U.S. and China on this front, because it is ultimately a bit of a lose-lose proposition to end up with high tariffs and trade barriers in both directions.
From your perspective, with what you've talked about with NAFTA and with the trade war between U.S. and China, where do you see the global economy stick? And let's kind of wrap it up by where do you see the markets kind of move because of that? Is it a time to start to harbor more in bonds or cash because there's a lot more headwind in front of us, or do we still enjoy some of these gains that we're making in the markets?
Well, one way or another, the global economy was going to be slowing because too many countries, not just Canada and the U.S., but Germany and Japan, are closing in at full employment. So there is a limit to growth that's going to start to hit. This probably means that this trade war disruption might mean slightly fewer interest rate hikes to get that slowdown. But we still think that interest rates will be rising. So longer-term bonds may not be the place to be. Shorter-term bonds starting to look more attractive now that yields have risen. I still think from here to the end of the year, because I don't think we're facing any further bad news on that trade front, that equities still have a reasonable attraction for portfolios. Remember that short-term bond yields are still pretty low. There are a lot of companies paying reasonable dividends. So even if the stock market just hovers where it is, it's providing a reasonable after-tax return.
And so, Avery, maybe we'll try to wrap it up on this, but sort of I'm the risk guy on our team, and I lay awake at night worrying about all the things that go bump in the night. And so I'm interested to get your perception of what you're laying awake worrying about at night.
So for me, the biggest risk actually lies come 2020, because for this year and next year, part of the power of the global economy was the impact of big U.S. tax cuts, big U.S. government spending increases, driving Canada's most important trading partner. By 2020, we move past that. We may have Congress actually cutting government spending that year to start to bring the deficit down. And we will be, at that point, feeling the impact of the interest rate hikes that we'll have seen in both the U.S. and Canada in 2018 and 19. So 2020 looks to be a slower year for growth. And we just have to hope that in raising interest rates over the next year and a half, the central banks take into account that one of the big lifts to growth, that is the tax cuts and spending hikes in the U.S., are going to start to fade in their impact. So we're certainly hoping that the central banks don't overdo these rate hikes and cause a 2020 recession. That's the thing that right now is most worrisome to me. And the good news is it's still a year and a half away from where we are today.
Right. So the global economic dashboards, call it for the next 12 months, maybe even 18 based on your call there, looks pretty decent, but we're getting long in the tooth on this recovery, and there are certainly some headwinds that appear to be increasing or rising as we get deep into 19 and early 2020. Avery, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been very helpful in terms of understanding and making some sense of where the global economy is, some of the risks, and what these trade wars may in fact look like.
You're welcome.
All right, we've been joined by Dr. Avery Shenfeld, Managing Director and Chief Economist to CIBC Capital Markets. And Faisal, it's an interesting time. I think Avery does a great job of putting it into plain English, right? There are risks we're talking about, as there are every single year. And we've got to be able to position and be dynamic to move through those risks, because people's retirements aren't just for 1 year.
And I think the reaction of an average investor comes out saying, trade war equals the market's going to fall, so let's change it now.
Right.
They're trying to time when that's going to happen. And based on what Avery was saying, is it can be somewhere around certain times. Mm-hmm. Let's use 2020 as an example that he mentioned. It's around. It's not exact dates. Don't fret on that. I think that's the biggest concern. So have a strategy in place. And in the event risk starts to increase in those types of things, what do you do in your portfolio versus a knee-jerk reaction every time? Because that's how you lose a lot of money in this type of market.
Well, again, you got to have a strategy for a longer period of time, be dynamic enough to adjust. But these are, like Avery said, these are very long-term issues. Like the China-U.S. negotiation is going to take time. It is likely doesn't mean we wake up one day and there's no trade between the countries, right? So you can't be that dramatic in terms of understanding the process that we'll work through. But we're going to talk about strategy at our next seminar.
That's be on Tuesday, August 21st, 7 p.m. at the Oak Ridge Co-op Wine and Spirits. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400, or go on our website to register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
What happens if you have to draw your portfolio down over time to support your lifestyle? Is that good or bad? Join us after the break, and we're going to talk about that particular point. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.